As sure as his resurrection, an Easter sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
He meets us here, not just an empty cross, not just an empty tomb, but the very risen Christ himself, the one who is the resurrection and the life.
We'll send you a CD of this sermon and a sermon on Job for any size gift during the 50 days of Easter. Make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support during the Easter season.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Thursday afternoon, June the 5th, we're going to be back into our series, Christ in the Old Testament. Now to Numbers chapter 11, where this is kind of interesting. You've got Moses, you've got the 70 elders of Israel. You actually have God, well, God is going to meet with them. Up to this point, God has met with Moses. Moses is God's spokesman, God's prophet. He speaks for God, not of his own accord, but God tells him what to say. Moses has God's spirit. And after this story is over, the 70 elders are going to have a portion of that spirit. What are we to make of this? And where is Christ in Numbers chapter 11, Moses and the 70 elders of Israel? Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, welcome back.
It's great to be here, Todd.
Set the context for this story for us. Where are the children of Israel? Where has God led them through Moses up to this point?
Yeah, so the children of Israel, the sons of Israel, are led out of Egypt, out of slavery and bondage, and they're wandering around. I mean, this is the problem. They're wandering around in complaint. This is the whole issue, that the things were always better now on the other side of Egypt. And they're constantly asking for food. They're constantly asking for drink. And God miraculously provides for them the manna in the wilderness so that they can eat and they cannot die. But he's sustain them in their bodies, and he gives them this word to sustain them in their souls. But what happens is they take these good gifts from God and they begin to complain. They still find a way to complain. Even though they have manna that sustains their bodies, well, they want meat to eat. It was better in Egypt. I mean, we had fish, we had cucumbers and melons and leeks and onions and garlic. It was so much better than this old manna that we keep having. So you have in the context of chapter 11, the people now growing and grumbling and complaining to Moses about this manna that they're eating. And so this is the context of what's taking place, is the people are coming to Moses and saying, we want meat. And so Moses now is dealing with this burden and this complaint, and he seeks help from Yahweh. And so you have Moses going to Yahweh in prayer and calling out upon him and saying that I am not able to carry all this people alone, and this burden is too heavy for me. So that's how this whole chapter opens, with this burden of the people and their refusal to be satisfied with the good gifts God gives and always desiring something else. And Moses is at a tipping point. He's about to break, and he turns to Yahweh and says, I cannot bear this burden any longer.
All right. Moses can't take it anymore. What is God's solution for the prophet?
And so what you have is God is there quick to respond to Moses, and he's there leading his people out. He's in their midst, in their presence. Of course, you have the tabernacle there, and you have the cloud where Yahweh is revealed to his people there for their benefit. And Moses goes to this tent. Moses goes before the cloud, before the presence of Yahweh, which, of course, is the second person, the Holy Trinity, the glory of the Lord, and he speaks to him face to face. And he says to Yahweh, I've got this problem. And then Yahweh says, here's the solution. Gather for me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them to me. Bring them here to the tent of meeting, and I will meet with them. And let them take their stand there with you. And I will come down and talk with you there. And I will take some of the spirit that is upon you and put it upon them. And then they shall bear the burden of the people with you. so that you may not bear it all by yourself. And so in this text, we have Yahweh coming down to the people. Again, this is the second person of the Blessed Trinity who is always sent to come to the people, to rescue, to deliver, to be with them. And we also are taught here this distinction between the second person of the Trinity and the third person of the Trinity when we begin to talk about the Holy Spirit, his person and work. And so what's interesting here is that we need to take note about this Holy Spirit, because when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we have to understand, is the text talking about the person of the Holy Spirit or the activity, the gifts of the Holy Spirit? And so when you have this language that the second person of the Trinity is going to come down and is going to pour out the Holy Spirit, what does it mean that he's pouring out the Holy Spirit? Well, it's the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That is these activities of the Holy Spirit. These, like the sevenfold gifts that are upon Christ. It's wisdom and understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, and fear. So that we understand that this is what's taking place here, that the Son is pouring out the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And throughout the scriptures, we need to make this clear distinction between the gift, the person of the Holy Spirit, and the gifts, the activities of the Holy Spirit, so that we don't get confused in passages like this or other passages and think that the Holy Spirit is not truly God and not one person of the Holy Trinity, but just merely the force or the power of God. And so in a passage like this, where the Lord is taking that Spirit and distributing amongst the 70 elders, this is similar to this understanding we have like in 2 Kings chapter 2, where Elijah and Elisha are having this conversation, and Elisha says, please give me a double portion of the Spirit. And so it's not a double portion of the person of the Holy Spirit, but it's a double portion of these gifts, these activities of the Holy Spirit to help Elisha in his office as prophet. Or even like in the New Testament, where we have in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where we are not to quench the Holy Spirit. Well, that's not the person of the Holy Spirit. You can't quench the person of the Holy Spirit, but quench the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so we have to understand that this is the response of Yahweh, that he is going to give these gifts of the Holy Spirit that is upon Moses, and he will put it upon them for this purpose, so that they shall help bear this burden that Moses himself is bearing.
Now, I think it's important to note here that the emphasis is on the presence of God among his people, but also, and I think I heard you heading in this direction, in a specific place. This isn't, I'm going to just come down and hover over you guys wherever you want to meet. This is located at the tabernacle, and this is a deliberate action on the part of God. It's not that they're ascending to him, but he is in fact descending to them. What's important about that?
Well, again, so this is kind of the background, that this burden that Moses has, he goes before the presence of Yahweh, and then now we have the response, how Yahweh is going to solve this problem. And so it's Yahweh in the cloud above the tabernacle, and Yahweh will come down. He will come to the people. And so the people are to go to the opening of this tent of the tabernacle, and that's where he will come down. And so you have, first of all, what Yahweh says he's going to do, and then that's where our text for this Sunday picks up, where it says, now this is what Moses did. So Moses heard the word, and as Moses is a messenger, the prophet, now he goes and he speaks this word to the people. So in Numbers 11, verse 24, so Moses went out and told the people all the words of Yahweh, and he gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tent at this location, this place where the words of God promise that he will be in their midst for their benefit. And so Moses comes out of the tabernacle, gathers the people around the tabernacle to be in the presence of God where he promises to be.
What is the purpose for which these gifts of the Spirit will be apportioned among the 70 elders?
Well, the purpose is to help in the bearing of this burden. And so these 70 elders will be put into this office to be associates of Moses, to help them with the complaints of the people. So Moses himself is the one who speaks the word of God to the people. So the people are all coming to Moses, and they're saying, here's the deal. We need you to be the mediator between us and God. Now you're going to have these 70 associates that will help Moses in this ministry, and they are empowered by God in order to fulfill this calling in this office, to be of assistance to Moses, to speak this word to the people. And so you see a lot of parallels here with what's taking place on the day of Pentecost, that whereas Moses is this mediator between God and the people of Israel, he is the shadow of the reality, which is Jesus, the prophet like Moses that is raised up, who is the one true mediator between God and his people. And on the day of ascension, he ascends to the throne, to the right hand of the Father. And then on the day of Pentecost, we rejoice that he then pours out the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And as we have in the Ephesians passage, of course, part of these gifts that he's giving to the people is he's placing these men into the office of holy ministry, these pastors, that is, these teachers, and he's giving them the gifts of the Holy Spirit so they can have knowledge and wisdom and discernment and be able to teach in that office, declaring the word of God to the people.
So is this, in Numbers 11, is it too much to say that it's an Old Testament Pentecost day?
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure if it's too much to say it. I mean, it's not specifically the day of Pentecost, but this understanding of these shadows, all these shadows that point to this reality that we have in the New Testament. And so you first start with Moses as the one who is the mediator. And that, of course, points to Christ, who is the one who is the mediator. Now, Moses is the one who has the Spirit upon him. And it's that Spirit that's upon him that is now distributed as gifts to those 70 elders who will help him in this office. And so you see that parallel. It's blatantly obvious there that Christ, the Son of God, takes upon flesh from the Virgin Mary, goes to the waters in the Jordan River, and he receives the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay, he has the Holy Spirit upon him, and he has a sevenfold gifts. And so on the day of Pentecost, what you're doing is you're taking this Holy Spirit that's upon Jesus, according to his human nature, and you're distributing to the church. And then, of course, you have Jesus continue to do this as he continues to do this, sending out pastors to be his associates as the 70 elders with Moses. And of course, you even have this when Jesus at one point in time sends out the 70 disciples. So a lot of this is a parallel. A lot of this is pointing us to Jesus, who he is and what he does. We see this first in the life of Moses, and then we see this completed in the life of Jesus in the New Testament Gospels.
Speak a little bit in some more detail. I think you'd take us to Isaiah 11, at least to begin with, to talk about that Spirit that is upon Jesus and how he distributes from that Spirit these gifts. What would we find there?
Well, in Isaiah 11, that's that beautiful passage that says, "And the Spirit of Yahweh will rest upon him." And then it goes into this whole entire, this litany of the sevenfold gifts, the gift of the Holy Spirit himself, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, of counsel and might, of knowledge and fear of Yahweh. Now, so when we make this distinction between the person of the Holy Spirit, who is a gift, and the gifts, the activities of the Holy Spirit, and specifically what we see here in Isaiah 11 is Christ in this office as the one mediator, the Savior of all nations, the one who institutes a new covenant in his blood. And he is going to have this sevenfold gift. And so you look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which are related to the person of the Holy Spirit. So it's the Spirit of wisdom who gives the gift of wisdom, the Spirit of knowledge who gives the gift of knowledge, the Spirit of understanding who gives understanding, the Spirit of counsel who gives the gift of counsel, the Spirit of might who gives the gift of might, and so on and so forth, so that we understand that it's the person of the Holy Spirit is directly related to these gifts of the Holy Spirit, so that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and he gives us the gift of truth, so that we know the knowledge of salvation, who Jesus is, that he alone is the Holy One that reconciles sinful humanity with the Creator of all things.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. We're continuing our series with him, Christ in the Old Testament, on this Thursday afternoon, June the 5th. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. You'll find a link to Redeemer Theological Academy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand.
This is Pastor Jeff Siegel of St. Mary Evangelical Lutheran Church in Des Moines, Iowa, where God gathers us around his means of grace to offer us forgiveness, life, and salvation. Whether you are looking for a church or just visiting Des Moines, if you like Issues, etc., St. Mary's is the church for you. Join us as we gather together every Sunday to continue the Reformation tradition of Christ-centered, cross-focused worship, preaching, and teaching. For more information, go to www.stmarylutheran.org. Remember to spell out Saint.
Here's a special offer for Issues, Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a CD of an Easter sermon and a sermon on the prophet Job preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, Issues, Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Pentecost Sunday, we'll send you a CD of two of Todd's sermons.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
There's a reason to be a believer in doctrine who sees that doctrine as having a practice.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk of Worldview Everlasting, talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues, Etc., Making the Case Conference.
And that these things aren't against each other, but that my religion as a Christian is highly spiritual, and my spirituality as a Christian is highly religious, and this is the best of both worlds.
You can meet and hear Pastor Jonathan Fisk making the case for being spiritual and religious Friday, June the 13th and Saturday, June 14th at the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, look for the Making the Case logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call Craig at 618-223-8385. 618-223-8385. The Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're doing Christ in the Old Testament, our series weekly with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. We're in Numbers chapter 11, Moses and the 70 Elders of Israel. You've talked about this a little bit already, but let's go back to those words where the Lord comes down in a cloud. This is not the first time that the Lord has descended, either for Moses or for the people of God. Tell us about the context there.
Yeah, so when we hear this this whole promise that he will come down, that he will come and reveal himself to the people, and he will act to deliver the people. And so you have this throughout the book of Exodus, that he has come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. You get this back in Exodus chapter 3, where he then comes to Moses in the burning bush. So you have the second person of the Holy Trinity, who is the one who comes down to Moses, and the one who then comes down to deliver the people out of the hand of the Egyptians. And you'll also have this, like in Exodus chapter 19, where Yahweh will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. And so you have this understanding that the invisible God promises that he will come down, making his presence known to the people. He will reveal himself to the people. And so he does this in a descending fire when he comes down in Exodus chapter 19, or like in Exodus chapter 16, the kavod of Yahweh, the glory of the Lord, appears in a cloud. And so this is this whole understanding that he's going to come down, make himself known, reveal himself in the cloud. And he does this in Exodus chapter 33, for instance. It says, when Moses entered the tabernacle, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and Yahweh would speak to Moses. And so this is what he's doing here in this chapter 11, is that the cloud, the Shekinah cloud, is the rabbis will later on call it, this presence of God in the cloud visibly and tangibly will come down from upon the tabernacle and now will come to the tent of meeting at the opening in the midst of the people to come to them to speak. In fact, you even have this in the next chapter, in chapter 12 of Numbers, right after he comes down and speaks to the people. Then he's going to have to deal with the next issue, which is where Miriam and Aaron are complaining to Moses, and Yahweh comes down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the entrance to speak to them.
Is there a connection between the bestowal of the Spirit and the Spirit's gifts and this speaking that Yahweh does when he comes down?
Well, when he comes down, he comes to speak, and with his word, of course, comes the Spirit. You can't divorce the Holy Spirit from the Word of God. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit are joined together in unity. There's a unity of one divine essence. And so when Yahweh speaks, when the Son is there present, the Holy Spirit is present, being bestowed in that very word and promise that he's delivering to the people. So as he's speaking to the people, this is the vehicle through which these gifts of the Holy Spirit are given out and distributed to the people who are gathered to hear the Word of God. Now, of course, obviously, if you have the Son and you have the Holy Spirit, you also have the Father. All three persons of the Blessed Trinity are present, but it's the Son who comes to reveal the invisible God speaking in this pillar of cloud.
Now it says, when the Spirit descended upon the 70 elders, they began to prophesy. So when they are spoken to and received thereby the Spirit, then they begin to speak themselves. Talk about that.
Yeah, so here again, the whole purpose of this was to help Moses with this burden in this office. And so you have the Son speaking, and as he speaks, he gives the gift of the Spirit, and it rests upon each one of these. And when they have this gift, then they are able to speak the Word of God too. That is to prophesy, to speak this prophetic word that comes from the Holy Spirit. And so they continue to now help Moses as they speak. And so all of this shows forth this miraculous help that God is providing for Moses in this problem, that now the Spirit will speak through the mouths of these people just as he's speaking through the mouth of Moses. And so they're in an office that is to be of assistance to Moses. I mean, you even have in the Aramaic Targums where they talk about this, and immediately when you talk about them being given the gift of the Holy Spirit to speak, they start talking about what is he actually saying. And they say that, well, he prophesies that Moses will die, and then they say that they prophesy that Joshua will succeed Moses. And of course, then in these Aramaic Targums of the rabbis, they can't help but say, they prophesy of the Messiah, the one who is to come, the King, the one that they're waiting for, the promised one. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit speaks through the mouth of the prophets, and the primary message that he gives, of course, is the message of Christ.
Talk about the connection then. We can find it in the prologue to John's Gospel, elsewhere as well, where with the incarnation, that God once spoke by the prophets, or as the book of Hebrews says, but now he has spoken to us by a Son. Talk about the connection to the incarnation with Numbers chapter 11.
Well, again, in the Old Testament, every time you had a prophet that was sent by God, this was showing forth to us a shadow of the reality that the Son of God would be sent and take upon flesh and blood. And so every time a prophet was sent as a messenger to proclaim this word, the word was always about the coming one, the one who is to come. And then when Jesus comes, he is the prophet like Moses, the prophet who gives the Spirit without measure. And so when you have Moses as a prophet who speaks the word of God, he gives the Spirit by speaking the word of God, but not like the Son of God, the Christ, the anointed one who will give the Spirit without measure and continue to give the Spirit. And so you even have this whole passage in John chapter 7 where it starts to talk about the Holy Spirit had not yet been given. And what it meant by that is that Christ himself had not been yet crucified, resurrected, and ascended. And so it's Christ who then pours out this Holy Spirit. And so even when you look at a passage like chapter 7 of John, it's not that the person of the Holy Spirit didn't exist. It's that these gifts of the Holy Spirit have not yet been poured out without measure, because that takes place, of course, at the ascension, when Christ our Lord ascends to the right hand of the Father, and just like the prophet Joel said, he would pour out the Holy Spirit so that the sons and the daughters of Israel would prophesy and see visions. And so all the prophets who were sent before were showing forth this reality of Christ, who is the true prophet, the reality that he is the culmination of all these promises. And so we don't need to look for another prophet to come. We have Jesus, the one that God gives to us this final word with. He is not only the messenger, he is the word incarnate.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, thanks for being our guest.
Oh, it's great to be here, Todd.
Folks, there are 3 days left in the Easter season. We are sending a CD with two sermons that I've preached to anyone who makes a tax-deductible donation during the waning days of the Easter season. You can make a special Easter gift by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Issues Etc. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. The address again, Issues Etc. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind during all of the Easter season. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss the vocation of singleness. Adrian Dorr-Heinz, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Hello, My Name is Single, will be our guest. Also tomorrow, we'll play Issues Etc., Soundbite of the Week. It's the same Christ in the Old Testament who is there to deliver his people, who is there to lead his people, who is there to ultimately deliver them to their destination. He feeds his people physically, of course, and they grumble at this. His response is to feed them even more so spiritually. He gives to them to eat from, well, what does Jesus say when he quotes that famous passage? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of their God. Jesus Christ is the God of Moses and of the ancient people of Israel. He did not leave them to wander in the wilderness or to ultimately stumble into unbelief because of their grumbling, but he gave them his word. And with that word, he sends forth the Spirit that is rightly his and the Father's. He sends forth by his word to those ancient people to sustain them, to strengthen Moses and all of them in their journey in the wilderness. He hasn't left his church today without his Spirit either. Now you say, I don't feel the Spirit. I don't see the Spirit. Open Holy Scripture, and there Christ is speaking. And where Christ speaks with his people, he meets with his people. And by that word, he bestows his Holy Spirit. On Sunday, we're going to celebrate that with Pentecost. And it's really something the church continues to celebrate every time it opens and hears God's word that testifies to Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.
What are some practical and personal issues facing many single men and women? And how can singles live secure in Christ? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is Hello, My Name is Single. It's written by regular guest Adrian Dorr Heinz. Hello, My Name is Single is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more about Hello, My Name is Single at issuesetc.org.